So what verse did that song come from? Apostle Paul talking about his own life. There were some things that for him to have any success, he was going to have to put those things behind him and forget them. Because it's one thing to be able to change places and go somewhere brand new where nobody knows you and start over fresh. It's another thing to be right around the people that it says that he put some to death. He caused some to be put in prison. And now he's going back to those congregations and ministering to them. That'd be very difficult if you can't put things behind you. But he said, forgetting those things that are in the past, looking forward to those things that are out ahead, I press. I've got a mark. I've got something out in the distance that I keep my focus on. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So we will have to do that. All of us will. There will be some things that we're going to have to choose to forget if I want to have success in the Lord. What I would like to continue with tonight is the subject that we talked about last Sunday of our thoughts. Because it's something that all of us have to deal with. It's none of us can say, I never have a problem with my thoughts. We have thoughts running all the time. And it's what we do with them that's going to be very important for us. So tonight what I want to look at, you know the verse that tells us bringing into captivity every thought. Now that is good when I am in the place that I can process them and I can say these are the ones that the Lord's pleased with. I can continue with those. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, I don't never have to worry about a thought that is studying a scripture or looking in our red song book, the thoughts that are produced from those songs. I don't have to process those. Should I think about them? Should I not? I know I ought to spend time. Blessed is that man, he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We don't have to restrict those kind of thoughts. We want them to continue. But you know, the devil comes along with thoughts that he presents to us. And sometimes I cannot tell at the very beginning of that thought where it's going to lead to. It can seem like it's safe to follow that path, but I need the Lord to be able to help me to know the thoughts that I need to bring into captivity at the beginning. Instead of 3 months down the road, I have followed this thing through to a course, and now I realize I'm up against a calamity, and I need the Lord's help. I believe he wants us to walk close enough to him that he can check us at the beginning of where a thought is going to lead. But tonight, what I want to talk to you about is when we have allowed a thought to continue, there is a process that goes on, and there's another word that I would like to look at tonight. That word is intent. Yes. And here's what I feel like intent means. It's the planning process of a thought that has been brought to me. It's more than just a thought and I realize, you know, I shouldn't be thinking of this thing and I put it aside. No, intent, I'm in the planning process. You know, we move from a thought to an intent to an action. There's a process there. When we're in the place of intent, it hasn't become an action yet. But what's important to me is God is judging those things when they're even in the thought process. I was looking at the definition of intent. The stretching of the mind toward an object, a design, or a purpose. It's more than just a thought popped in my head. Now it's me putting time to it, giving it some more thought. My mind is reaching toward it. Sometimes we hear if someone is very intent, we say that they're focused. There's not a whole lot of distractions now. I'm focused on this one thing and I'm going toward it. You know, that can happen in our thoughts. It can be just a thought. But if I allow it to continue, after a while I can become focused on it. And it becomes an intent. And I would like to start tonight with an example, maybe the best example that I can think of in the scriptures of what I'm wanting to talk about. And it's in Luke 12 and 16. We have read this parable, no doubt, many times. But as I think about intent, I realize this spells it out. It says, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And look at this next verse. He thought within himself, saying, and you know what? Every one of us come to this place in our life. You can have anything happen. You can have a paycheck and you think within yourself, saying, now what am I going to do with these? There's nothing wrong with those things. We have to do those things. So he's in the place where a thought is presented. My crops have done very well. Thinking within himself, he has never told anybody this. It's just in his thoughts. He's thinking about, what should I be doing with it? He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. You know, there's nothing wrong with those thoughts. I need to know what's the right thing to do. But then it moves into, now I'm making an intent. I've got an intention of what I plan to do. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And you know, that's not evil thinking. That is, I'm not wasting what God has allowed me to have. But that wasn't the end of where his intentions went. Yes. I will say to my soul, you know, this could be every one of us as we grow older. The world tells us, get your retirement in place. And then when you reach it, you know, I like to listen to Dave Ramsey. He gives us good financial advice. But what does he say? Live like no one else today so you can live like no one else later. That's what this man is fitting to do. He's fitting to live like no one else. He's fitting to have everything going his way. There's a balance for us in this. God tells us, there are scriptures all through the Bible. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. So there is no place for the Christian to say, I cannot have a savings account. I just live day by day. No, we prepare for the future. But what we do is we don't set our heart on it. Job did not set his heart on what God allowed him to have. We know that because in one day it was gone and he didn't commit suicide. He just said, what did he do? He fell on the ground. A lot of people might fall on the ground, kick their feet, and they're in a big uproar. Not him. Fell on the ground and he worshiped, saying, the Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I look at this when we're looking at intent. I'd like for us to look at a verse in Hebrews is where this comes from. Hebrews 4 and 12. Because this is God that's judging this. It's not another person. God Almighty that I stand before says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is a portion of scripture that I need to always carry with me. When a thought is presented to me, I need to realize God has just checked that thought that has come also. He is watching what I will do with that thought. He is a discerner of the thoughts. He's also a discerner of when I have kept that thought and it has now become an intent. An intention that someday I will carry this out. It has not become an action yet. An intent has not become an action yet. And God has already noticed it. God knows about it. So how careful we need to be. Now this is not just sinful things. We all process thoughts every day. We can take a look at something and say, I see this is the right way to go. And an example of that, in 1 Samuel, you remember when Samuel himself was sent by God to Jesse's house and sent with a mission. One of his sons is going to be the king. And when we look at that, 1 Samuel, 16 and 6. You know, Samuel, he walked close to God. So now the sons of Jesse are walking by him, and he takes a look at this one. Sixth verse, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. How did he judge that? You know, it doesn't sound like Eliab has gone through a discourse of politics of how I would deal with a nation if I were the king or anything. Doesn't look like he said anything. Looks like what he did was he took a look at him and said, that looks like king material. You know what? The Lord checked him on that. Seventh verse. The Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. I've refused him. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. And I'd like for us to think about that with our thoughts. We look many times on the outward appearance of something, and God is searching. He's able to see past tomorrow. He's able to see where things will be on down the road for us. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Because in this place, this isn't talking about, okay, you need to go by and get a blood pressure check because you're keeping your heart with all diligence. No, this is another heart right here. This is my affections. This is where a thought has come. I have allowed it to stay with me. I processed it. It's become an intention now. I'm going to bring it into action one of these days. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I need to guard, first of all, my thoughts, those that come. Now, here's where I want to say. The devil would love to tell us if a thought is presented to us and we know God is not in this thought. You know what the devil would like to do? If you were saved, you would never have that thought. He'll do it to every one of us. But here's what we can do. Because I can prove to the devil that I'm on the Lord's side by what I do next with that thought. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's a guarantee for all of us. But God has put it in my power what I do with the thought that is presented. I can say we should not listen to music that has words in it that God would not be pleased with me living. I can say that. But you know what? I can go through a grocery store. Or today, I can just pull up to a stop sign and a car pulls up to me with his windows down and it's the thump and the bump of a rap song. They tell me that they don't even notice the words that are being said. You know how clear those words come to me when I'm sitting at the stop sign? The devil probably has a little plan in that himself. And I've got to do something with the thoughts that come from the outside. You can drive home and go by a billboard. That billboard was intended to produce a thought. You can go on the internet to check your checking balance. And there's things that pop up on the side to take you in directions. What is it? To take me down a road to start some thoughts a-going. And what the danger is, and what I'm wanting to tell us tonight is, be real careful about the thought of how quick I get rid of it. Because God is not only monitoring what I did with the thought, He's monitoring what I did with the intent of that thought. No one else is able to see what's going on. Intent, a thought that is now planted, and I have not rejected it. I have not turned it aside. Psalms 119 and 11, Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. You know the value of that for us today, if we want to make heaven our home, is that I hide away God's word in my heart to where when that thought is presented, there is something to fight it. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, now we could say, wait a minute, if Jesus was holy, how was he tempted? Thoughts were presented to him, just like thoughts are presented to me. You know what the thoughts were to him? If you be the Son of God, prove it to me. And what did Jesus say? Did he say, In the Word of God, there's got to be an answer for this. I'm going to go study it and I'll come back next week and talk to you about it. No. Instantly, the scripture was there for Jesus to use. Well, we could say that's Jesus. But I tell you what, I believe he wants that same thing to be with us. It's going to take an effort on my part of me showing the Lord that I really am concerned about hiding your word in my heart. You and I can say, well, I'm old. I can't hardly remember people's names. But you know what? If the Lord sees my intent, my desire is, Lord, I'd like to have your word, and as much as possible, I'm hiding it away in my heart. He will be there for our protection. There is a process to sin. It's found in James in the first chapter. It says in the 13th verse, well, let's go to the 12th. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Where did temptation start from? It began with a thought. He endures temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So he did something with that temptation that the Lord was pleased with. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Here's where temptation comes from. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There's a process to sin. First of all, when that temptation comes, there's something inside that says yes and starts a process. When he's drawn away of his lust, some desire, and it's an enticement. Right here is where I think about Adam and Eve. There was a clear instruction given to Adam of every tree in the garden. Freely eat it. Eat all you want. There's just one tree. Don't eat it, lest you die. If there was not, well, Lord, you didn't even say what tree it is. I don't know. I could eat it without knowing. You know, there's many people today that say you sin without knowing it. That's not possible. Because it tells us, he that knoweth to do good and then doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if God had not given that instruction and that just happened to be a tree in the garden and Adam ate of it, it wouldn't have been a sin to him. But when he gave the instruction, clearly he said, this do not do. You know, God did that for us way back there at Mount Sinai. When he gave the Ten Commandments, that America has decided we don't want them posted. We don't want to be reminded of them. Years ago, God said, here's 10 for you to start with. And one of those was, several of them, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know what we can do when a thought comes to our mind that is contrary to that law of God? First of all, I need those laws printed in my heart. Toward just like Jesus, when that temptation comes, I can say, steal? Huh, there's a law in there that says don't do that by God himself. Thou shalt not commit adultery. A red flag ought to come up. Not going there. What if King David would have been reading the Ten Commandments and meditating on them and saying, God, I love your law. You know, Psalms 119 is full of, Lord, I love your law. I love the instruction you have given me. What if David had been just reading those when he stepped out on his roof? Yes. I believe he'd have had some protection. I believe we all can have some protection if we will hide God's word in our heart. More than just, well, how many scriptures can I remember? No. Lord, I want to hide the ones that will be a safeguard to me out in the future. So I think of King David when he committed his sin. His was a process. You know, he had a thought presented when he stepped out on the roof. He could have rejected the thought and turned aside. As much as he knew about God, he was a man after God's own heart. As close as he had walked with God, I don't think we can say, well, he probably didn't know about that commandment there. No, what he did is he was running on lean. He was not in the place that he should have been in his closeness with God. And here came a temptation. We're talking about thoughts that become intents. I'm starting in a direction. I haven't rejected it. If you read that story of David, he has started with a thought that was not rejected. And the next thing he asked for, well, who is this? And then they say, she's the wife of a man. There were so many red flags that should have come up. And David, I believe when he was walking to the house of God before all this had ever happened, if you would have told him, David, this is right down the road for you, be careful, I believe he'd have said, there is no way. Me and God are just like this. We're together. We are. I'd never do it. But then for him to go step, this, what is this process? Every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. Because David moved from one process to another where he would have never gone. David would have never had her husband to come. And when he realized he could not get him involved, he sent him back with a letter to have him killed. The process continued on for David. But here is something I'm so thankful for. There is something called mercy that God has just as much as judgment. He has mercy. And I am so glad there's a chapter in the Bible where David, when he realized what he had done, now David knew what he had done at first, but when Nathan the prophet came to him and exposed it to him, you know, David could have had one more man killed there and continued on with the process. But instead, David humbled his heart when he knew thou art the man. And David repented. And I mean, you read in his prayer, that was quite a prayer of repentance. And God accepted that. So for us today, we're living in a time of mercy. But I also want to have a guard in my heart against where thoughts begin. Because I want us to go to a place, Matthew, the 5th chapter. Because while we're dealing with this subject, let's look at where God is looking at this. You have heard it was said, Matthew 5:27. You have heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. One of the 10 commandments. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Thoughts and intents. And the devil would like to tell me, if it hasn't become an action, everything's okay. You know what? I can go down a road and God is judging my thoughts and my intents without even an action. I say, God, in all these things and others, help me to walk with a carefulness. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, Proverbs 4:10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, she is thy life. And now is instruction. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Here's what I do. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. When temptation is presented, when thoughts are presented, whether it's someone else or whether it's Satan himself, I've got to do something with it. This one says, avoid it. The very best way for me to stay away from wrong is avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. There is a song, number 270, that gives us some good instruction. verse number 3 and 4. In the time of sore temptation, standing firm. Grace will be thy sure salvation, standing firm. Virtue crown thy soul with honor. Sin resisted tempts no longer. What a concept. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sin resisted tempts no longer. Faith in conflict waxes stronger, standing firm. Last verse, mid the battle's raging fury, standing firm. Face the legions dark before thee, standing firm. In the strength of our Redeemer, make the powers of hell surrender. Be a valiant overcomer, standing firm. And I want to take those verses right there and apply them to our thoughts. We can be a valiant overcomer, standing firm. Sin resisted tempts no longer. You know what? When I resist the devil enough on a subject, he is not going to waste his time continuing with it. It's when he has anything down inside. You remember when we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed, as long as he sees something there, he will continue with it. In where we've been talking about resist the devil, he will flee from you. But it's not enough to just do that. I've got to fill it with something else. You remember the verse that tells us when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that spirit walks about seeking rest and finding none. And it says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to see what's the condition of that person that I was in. And he said he came back and he found it empty, swept and garnished. The evil spirit's not there, but there hadn't been something else to replace it. I can resist the devil and he flee from me, but I've got to do the next verse. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Now then when I am filled with the Lord and Satan comes back by, you know what that verse said? Because he was empty, swept and garnished, he went out and he got several others worse than himself. Said the last end of that man was worse than the first. We don't want that to happen to us. And it does not have to happen to us. But I'm going to have to take that verse, resist the devil. So thankful that he does flee. But draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to us. There is a couple people that I want to talk to you about a little bit. That explains what I'm dealing with tonight. What a difference this couple's life would have been if they would have at the very beginning brought into captivity a thought that was presented. Yes. Their name was Ananias and Sapphira. In the 5th chapter of Acts, in the first verse, you know, when we read that, there had to have been a thought presented to them. Maybe it was as they went to service, they had been seeing people selling everything. That 4th chapter ended up by telling how many people were selling everything they had and bringing it. And somehow there was a thought presented to them. Look at the very last of the 4th chapter. People having land sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the very next verse is Ananias and Sapphira with his wife sold a possession. And you know, we find with that, they did not have, there was not a requirement from God that everyone sell your possession and bring 100% of it or you're going to be lost. This was what people were willing to do. But it says in the second verse, here a thought had to have been presented. And now there's fitting to be an intent come from it if they don't resist that thought. You know, they could have cast that thought out of their mind and said, you know, we really don't want to give 100%. I would like to save some back for the future. We'll go down and we'll talk to Peter and just tell him, hey, we sold it for $10,000. I'd just like to give the church $5,000. You know what? There wouldn't have been a thing wrong with it. What happened in here was there was more involved. Their desire was to look like they had done 100%. Ananias was charged from intent. He never told a lie about the price that he sold it for.
Right.
If we look at this third verse, remember the verse that we read in Hebrews, he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You remember the farmer that said, this will I do. I'm gonna say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And God immediately spoke back to him and said, thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. And you know, as far as I can tell in that story, that man had never spoken to anyone about what he was thinking about doing. It was just a process that was going through his mind and an intention that was made that involved his soul. Well, when we look at Ananias, third verse, they just laid the money at his feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not on thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. We don't read in the next verse Ananias saying anything, but I did sell it for that much. He didn't have time. He died and was going out into eternity. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. This tells me I need to be real careful of what I do with the second place of a thought. I need to bring every thought into captivity. If I have a desire to make heaven my home, I need to ask the Lord, Lord, there's thoughts coming to my mind all the time. I can get hung up on thoughts about what's happening in politics. Lord, I can become upset with what's happening and lose my soul out in the end of it all. So Lord, I want to ask you, before my thoughts become an intention, would you please look down in mercy upon me? Because Ananias lost his life. The rich farmer lost his life and there was never an action. Ananias' action was not that he lied about it. Well, when we go on down to wonder how the wife was not informed in the hours that followed. Hey, your husband's dead. I don't know, something happened. It was something about some money that he brought. And I heard Peter say that he lied to the Holy Ghost and he fell over dead. You know what? That would have helped her when she comes up. What does it say? The young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, I wonder where she was in those 3 hours, came in. Remember up in here in this first part, second verse, kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it. You know, her soul is in the balance right here. If she had known nothing about it, she just knew that Ananias was going to go give it all. She could have been clear. But instead, her thoughts, her intents were also involved. Because on down here, Peter asked her a question. Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. You know what? If she could just realize eternity for me depends on my answer. You know, for us tonight, eternity for us depends on what we do with some thoughts that come to us and the intents that I follow through with that thought. Sapphira had a clock. Her life clock was ticking down. It was seconds away from hitting zero. It all depends on an answer. And here she gave it.
Yes.
Yay. For so much. Four words caused her to go out into eternity lost. Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost. They carried her forth, buried her by her husband. What did it do to the church? You think anybody next Sunday said, I really don't want to give all of mine either. He probably won't know about me. Mm-mm. I don't think there's anybody. It says here, great fear came on all the church and upon as many as heard these things. What a carefulness. we need to have. Ananias was charged by his intention. She was charged by her action. In Ecclesiastes, there's a verse that we need to always remember as we're dealing with God. The very last book, very last chapter, very last verses of Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There is not even a secret thing that will pass by God. Some people will say, you know what, I got by with this. Nobody knows about it. I just need to remember, God has already marked it down. It would be better for me if he would judge it here and I have an opportunity to correct it than for him to say, I'll also let it slide. See you on the judgment day with it. Folks, we're dealing with God every day. And many times my thoughts, I don't even connect them to be, could deal with my soul. But you know what, how easy it could? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That means a little trouble has come in my life. It could be from somebody else in the congregation. It could be somebody in my family. It could be somebody on my job. But something gets a thought stirring in my mind. How could it be that things have passed down for generations in families because of something that happened, and the parent kept that thought churning, passed it down to their children? A lot of times those children couldn't even tell you where it started. They just know mom and dad was mad at this family. The Hatfields and McCoys, if you ever get a chance, pull that up and read about those families. Went for years and cost many lives over something as simple as country folks that did not mark whose pig it was, and they had fights about it. I've thought about those stories and where that thing went. I think there were 16, maybe 16 family members killed before it was over. Back and forth over the years. You kill this one, we kill this one. And you know what? If they would have brought into captivity every thought, they would have had a roast pig one day and invite both families. Come on over. We can't tell for sure whose it is. So we're going to have a big old supper this evening and let's get together and eat it together. Yes. Folks, that was a long, long time ago when that happened. And yet we're faced with some of the same things, thoughts that run in my mind. There's something else that I need to remember. We find several places where it says when Jesus perceived their thoughts. He was able to know what a person was thinking. Maybe they were saying, you know, the Pharisees were good about that. They were saying something like, we're really concerned, Jesus, about what you feel about something. And he said he perceived their thoughts. He knew what they were trying to do. They were trying to trap him. He was able to perceive their thoughts. Well, I've looked at this. How was it that Judas, after spending that much time with Jesus, seeing that he could perceive thoughts, how was it that when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me, and all the other disciples say, oh Lord, could it be me? You know what they were honestly saying? Could it be me? I just don't see how I could do it. But you said it, Jesus, so it's got to be. And Judas could step up and say, Lord, is it I? And he knew, he already had the intents in process. I need to guard my thoughts and the directions they go. There is a word that we don't hardly ever use anymore. Dissimulation. I would consider the definition of it of being a front. That's what Ananias and Sapphira did. It says a concealment of my true opinions or purpose, a false pretense, hypocrisy, a counterfeit. Romans 12 and 9 tells us, let love be without dissimulation, that there is no hypocrisy to it. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Let love have no front to it. let it be genuine all the way through. There is a verse that I read in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. 23 and 6 and 7. This is kind of an interesting verse. It tells us about a concealment of true opinions and purpose. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You know, I read the commentary on that, and it was kind of interesting. It says here, what's being depicted here is a wealthy man that wants to have a show of, I care about everybody. Come on, folks, eat all you can. And so you take him at his word and you sit down and you go to eating. And he's looking at you and saying, that pig, look at how much he has already consumed. That's probably $20 worth he's already eaten. That's what this is saying. He's saying with his words, come on, eat, have yourself a plenty. And then he's down inside, he's saying, whoa, I wouldn't have invited him if I'd known he'd eat this much. A difference of opinion, a concealment of opinion. And you know how that can be, you know, we're trained to be nice to people. You know, we want our love to be without dissimulation. Because God knows thoughts and intents, and he's going to judge me one day. There's another word that I'd like for us to look at for a few minutes, and that is, it goes right along with dissimulation, and that is guile. Mm-hmm. It says cunning, to disguise craftily. And it says in John 1 and 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael coming, he had a comment that he made about him. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Had somebody talked to Jesus about Nathanael and said, this man's going to be coming tomorrow, I'd like to tell you about his life story. And Jesus had that to say. Jesus had never seen Nathanael before in real life. And when he said that about Nathanael, and Nathanael heard it, he said, how do you know me? And Jesus then let him know how he knew. He said, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Had Jesus walked by and saw him? No. It's this thing about he knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When Jesus perceived what they were thinking. I need to remember that, and it does not need to be a terrible thing for me. No. I judge myself by that. When a thought comes and I'm about to continue to entertain it, I just ask myself the question, okay, Jesus also has checked that thought. He knows I've got it, and he's watching what I'm going to do with it. Lord, help me now. It's not his desire that any would perish, but that every one of us would make heaven our home, that we would have nothing that we say with an intention for it to mislead someone else. And when we go into court, I guess they still say this, I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Don't say anything to mislead. Let it be totally the truth. I'd like to look at a verse in Psalms 34. And 11. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Here's how to do it. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Here's some things for us to put into our life. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. You know, we've had several that we're talking about tonight that was a negative thing of what they did with thoughts and intents. But I've got a couple that I would like for us to look at before we close of people that did the right thing with their thoughts and their intents. One of them is Genesis, the 6th chapter. It says in the 5th verse, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. What would it be to be living in a world where all of the thoughts of people's hearts are on evil continually? I think we're getting closer and closer to that place in this world today. More and more people, their thoughts are on evil continually. Repented the Lord. He said, I'm going to destroy man whom I have created. But look at that 8th verse. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord comes to Noah and said, Noah, I tell you what, I'm going to give you some instruction that will save you and your house. Did he say it's going to take 3 days for you to do this? No. I'm going to tell you what to do, and it's over 100 years that you will be working on this. Noah moved from a thought that God presented to an intention to obey, to the action of doing it for 100 years. Look at this last verse in the 6th chapter. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded, so did he. And you know what it began with? A thought that God presented to him. This world's coming to an end. I'm going to destroy it. I want you to build a boat. Here's the size to do it. And it took him over 100 years of continuing to build it. No matter how many people came to him and said, what are you doing? It had never rained. He's not even building the boat in a lake that it could float. He's building it off of God's promise to him. To us today, we're building our life before God with a promise from him that one day we're going to stand before him. Yes. We'll be judged and we'll go out into eternity for the deeds that we have done in the body. I want to be careful because you know what? It's not possible to sin without it first being a thought. It begins with a thought. It's what we do with that thought is where it goes. To him that knoweth to do good, knowing to do good is in the thinking process. It's me taking the word of God, meditating on it, believing in it. We heard tonight the song about faith. You know what? In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, there were people that by faith, they understood some things. Through faith, we understand, third verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You know, we believe by faith, Genesis 1, just as simple as can be. You know what? There's a lot of people spending billions of dollars. Got something up on Mars today that they're hoping to be able to find the origin of life out in the future. Could it be that life had existed on Mars? What does it matter? God created it, if it did. And by faith, they understood some things. By faith, now we can understand how important my thoughts are and what I do with them, that I bring them into captivity. Joseph, what a contrast to King David. Joseph one day had a choice to make. He made that choice, and we get to read about it. In the 39th chapter of Genesis, and in the 9th verse. Because you know what, we can have a thought presented to us and have an intent, but I'm not going to do it because people, what are people going to say? You know, that's not enough for us. It wasn't enough for Joseph. Here was his answer. 9th verse of the 39th chapter of Genesis. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now here is his determination. How then Can I do this great wickedness and sin against Dad? Nope. Sin against God. He had a relationship with God that he took care of the thoughts and the intents of his heart. We see that as it goes on down and we watch how he treated his brothers. It wasn't you that sent me here. It was God that had a plan for it all. I believe in those 13 years that Joseph was going through those troubles, he had to do something to bring into captivity every thought. And I think what he did was said, God, I don't understand it about the dreams that you gave me, but I commit them into your hands, and tomorrow I'm going to be the best person in the prison. You know, they handed him the keys. He's in Potiphar's house. He's a servant. And God blesses what he does. You know, whatever may happen to us out in the future, let's turn our thoughts to where God has allowed this to happen. Joseph did it, and it was to his benefit. He didn't have a whole lot of baggage that he had to get rid of in his mind before he could help somebody else. He was ready. He was clear before God, and we can be the same way. There's a verse that tells us, 1 Peter 3 and 8 through 10, don't render evil for evil. When evil is brought to us, let me stop the thought right there. But contrarywise, let it be a blessing that I give back. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And that is possible. There are thoughts that you can take this red songbook and you can look up some songs, and there are thoughts presented in it that will be a great benefit to us. There's a song that I would like for us to sing in closing that would be a great benefit to us all if we took this song as a thought, we let it become an intent, and we also let it become an action in our life. We'll be able to make heaven our home if we will. There's always going to be thoughts that are presented. It's what I do with those thoughts that will determine if I make heaven or if I'm lost in the end. That song is number 223. If we could sing this song. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know. For God will give me victory if onward I shall go. I'm going on, I'm going on, unto the final triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on, unto the final triumph. I'm going on. Should opposition come, should foes obstruct my way, should persecution fires be lit as in the ancient day, with Jesus by my side, his peace within my soul, no matter if the battle's hot, mean to win the goal. I'm going on, I'm going on, unto the final triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on, to the final triumph. I'm going on. I see a shining crown awaiting over there. I see a mansion all prepared, decked with beauties rare. Shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? Nay, on I'll go until I reach that city of delight. I'm going on, I'm going on unto the final triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on unto the final triumph. I'm going on. Then forward let us go, our hearts with love aflame, our snowy banner borne aloft, inscribed with Jesus' name. The host of evil flee, and heaven's open gates invite me now to hasten where eternal glory waits. I'm going on, I'm going on to the final triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on unto the final triumph. I'm going on. So I look at this without looking at the title. What's the name of that song? We said it enough times. In the chorus, it's just over and over. I'm going on. I'm going on. And you know, if you don't have a problem today, that sounds kind of repetitious. Come on, why do we have to say it that many times? But I think there's times that we get into a battle, and this is what we have to have, that I say, you know what, this is my intent. I've got a lot of thoughts coming into my mind, but my intention is, by God's help, I'm going on, and I'm going to make it. Every one of us will deal with thoughts. Let's remember, it's not the thought presented that will cause us to be lost. It's what I do with those thoughts that are presented. And I cannot tell on many of them the direction that it will take me a year from now should I follow this thought. So I want to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to recognize without you, I can do nothing. So I ask you that as thoughts are presented, would you help me to understand the ones to discard and the ones to embrace? We can be guaranteed. Sometimes we might be in question on some. Some of them, there's no question. God will always endorse us hiding away more of his word in our heart. He will always back up us taking songs that promote his word and hiding them away in our heart. Let us be like that man in Psalms 1:1. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night. And you know what will happen when he does? When the enemy comes in like a flood, there's going to be some verses come up that will, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We can all be successful, and I'm thankful for that. Pray for me.